right. Well, hopefully you guys had a good time in your groups, and that over the last week or so, with everything else that's been going on, you had a little bit of time to look at the case study. We ended up sticking with Evelyn and Frank just because we thought since we were already heading in that direction, maybe it'd be nice just to continue and not do a completely new case study. However, this one is not a simple one in many ways, but I'll tell you that most of them are not a simple one, and so that's why they're coming for help, right? It's because they've gotten themselves into some complicated issues that they need some help to work out. And so let me go ahead and just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in here. Father, we're thankful for our time. We just give you the praise and glory. We are dependent, Lord, upon you, your Spirit, your Word, Lord, to help us to fill, Lord, each of these boxes, to have discernment. And so, Father, we pray, God, you'd guide our time. Pray that this would be clear and helpful to those who are here. Give them encouragement, Lord, as they see your Word, Lord, answering even some of the more complex problems and situations, Lord, in this case study. And so, Lord, just pray for your great help and encouragement, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, well, you guys have in your notes that you picked up kind of those two kind of right side diagram. Looks like this. And so if you want to find those, that'll be helpful here in just a minute. But what I wanted to start with is kind of in this bottom middle box, there's the section God and Truth. And again, this section is primarily to just help you think big picture. Not only what are some of the specific truths that maybe that individual needs, but maybe the couple needs as well, too. And I was thinking of this a moment ago. There are wrong answers. Obviously, you know, you can put things in the boxes that don't go there, or maybe even things biblically that are non-existent. But there's a lot of right answers. I think I have 5 pages of different things to fill out in the different areas, and I thought of several other ones I don't have. And so you guys may have some that I don't. These aren't wrong. There's different ways to go about getting at the same thing as well, too. And so if you guys have questions, please feel free, as we're going through this, to ask them. But let me start with just this bottom middle box here and look at some kind of general truths here specifically as we take a look at our this case study here. And so, you know, one of the things, you know, it mentions in the case study is that they are professing believers. As you look at their lives, obviously, there are concerns, maybe not with their salvation. Again, we don't know Frank and Evelyn very well. We didn't get to hear their testimony, but that's something we would need to do, most certainly. Do they understand the gospel? Have they seen transformation and change, you know, in their lives? And so that would be something very clearly to start with, obviously in a first session, to kind of understand their testimony. But the other thing, too, that I think is very, very clear is that we would call them, right, in the gospel, maybe not the first session, usually that's more of data gathering, but in the second session, to really work through, right, are they living for the Lord, right? I think that that's very clear, practically, that in a number of areas, and hopefully even it would be obvious to them as you would help them and walk through that they are not living for the Lord in a number of ways. So I think those of you who are going to the counseling training, memorize 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. That second verse is, and he died, this is Jesus, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. And that's the essence of conflict, right? James 4, you lust and do not have, right? It's selfish desires, right? They're living for themselves. And so that's really the heart of conflict. And so we'd want them to, and help them to see that disunity, like in Ephesians 4, is sinful, okay, because it's based out of James 4, specifically, right, that conflict, okay, the lusting, not having, fighting and quarreling coming from that. And so the gospel is going to provide them hope. You know, obviously there's a lot of sins, there's a lot of struggles, probably a lot of discouragement. I mean, that's going to build them up, strengthen them, right, remind them that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, but also to give them a purpose, right? That they are to live for the Lord, right? Not for themselves, their own desires, but that also God can change them, help them. You know, they don't need to look at the past, all the terrible things going on around them. That's a reality. They can't help but look at that somewhat, but they're what needs to continue to be reminded and their eyes pointed towards is their Savior, right? The one who loves them, cares about them, and can help them, not only with his word, but his strength. And his comfort, his encouragement, right? And all of this, there's a lot of discouraging things that have happened. They've been sinned against, right? Even though they're a sinner, they've contributed both significantly. They have also been sinned against. And the gospel can be a great encouragement, a reminder of who their God is and what he's done can be a great encouragement. This also, too, as they just see how gracious God is in the gospel can lead to humility as well, too. And they see how wicked they've been and how God treated them. That can be a great encouragement towards humility. And so when I love working through the gospel in context of conflict, because that is exactly what the gospel is. It's divine conflict resolution. And so for them to see, this is who you were, this is what God has done. And God was the innocent party, zero sin, zero contribution. All right. And one of them may think that that's them. Okay, but and even if they believe that, which is not true, then this is still how God responded, right? In love and mercy and forgiveness and kindness and graciousness. That's the model. And so to help them to see those things and to catch a vision of it, I think another thing very generally is to help them understand their responsibility. Okay, this is kind of two-part, humility and responsibility. They need to, as you read the case study, they need to stop focusing on their needs. Okay, their felt needs. I want this. I desire this. This is what I need. Okay, for Frank, it was very clearly he needs his wife to be there for him for this and that reason, and she's not. And there's some truth to that mixed in there, some unhelpful things as well too. For her, it was the perfect Christian man, right? They would love her, right? Just the way that she wanted to be loved. And so they need to stop focusing on their needs, desires, lust. Instead, they need to focus on what God has called them to be, all right? His desires. They need to be God's kind of man and woman. They need to focus on obedience to the Lord, right? Living for him and instead of for themselves, okay, ultimately. They also need to see what God commands, what they are for them and where they stand in relationship. Okay, this is going to produce humility as well, too. Okay, how does God call you guys to act and to treat one another? Right, to love, to serve, to care, to speak. And how have you been doing that? How have you been doing on that? Right? What's the, where would you fall? Right? In the gospel presentation that I do, there's some report cards. Okay. And we get F's. Okay. And in every category, we failed. And that's why we need Jesus, right? As a substitute. Okay. Because his score, the school of the law, all right, was perfect. And so we can see, you know, we've fallen short on that. And therefore, focus on our contribution to the conflict. All right, this is Matthew chapter 7, right? We need to remember the log in our own eye, okay? Not just be so pointing out and focused on the other person's sin. They've done this. They've not been here for me. He's not loved me. All those, I mean, very self-centered. Again, we've all been there. We've all thought that. Those things, what way people have hurt us. And we've needed to call ourselves back, all right, to focus on the way we've contributed or the glory of God, his desires particularly. But as they see their sin, as they're focused on it, there should be a brokenness, right? They have sinned against God. And they, if they're true believers, they're going to want to make that right with him. This is not just about Evelyn, all right, and Frank. But it's about a God, right, who's made them and created them. And they've sinned not just against each other, but more importantly against God. And so to help them and even pray that God would develop in them a godly sorrow, true brokenness that says, I don't want to live that way anymore. That brings dishonor to Christ. And two, in the middle of this, as they humble themselves, as they are then focused on their own sin and growing, they're going to be focused on being gracious towards their spouse. Right? If they need to go and pluck out or to be involved in plucking out something out of somebody else's eye, that speck, all right, you need to do that with great care. And that's developed. Okay, humility is developed. Love is developed through dealing with your own issues. Right, the criticalness, the judgmentalness, the lack of grace. And as you work through your own heart and see how hard and how difficult it is, all right, you'll gain humility. All right, and say, wow, this is really hard. I bet you it's hard for them too. I don't struggle with the same things, right? But to be a great encouragement in that area. And then I think one of the greatest things that they need to focus on certainly is reconciliation, right? God is dishonored by disunity. He has reconciled us to himself, and he wants all of us, right, to live in peace with one another. And he's given us the wisdom, okay, and the ability, the help, all of that to be able to do that. All of you, I would assume, have been in conflict at different times in your life. And if you followed God's word and they did too, you're not in conflict anymore, all right, I trust. And so that's a wonderful thing. Frank and Evelyn have to learn forgiveness. This is so vital. This is one of the very first things I'll talk about in the first session with couples, because likely there is a big problem with that. They've not resolved conflict for years in a biblical way, and they've grown bitter. They've grown angry. Maybe they wouldn't admit to bitterness at this point, first session. But they're bothered, if nothing else. I'll use their language if they'll accept that. They're bothered with their spouse. And that runs deep, potentially. And so, to help them understand biblical forgiveness, and this can be a part of the gospel presentation, you know, as well, to God's, understand God's forgiveness, because ours must model His, most certainly. And so to lead them towards confession and repentance, I didn't mention this towards God. Godly sorrow, repentance towards God. So that's where it needs to start. But then towards each other. You know, hopefully earlier on, sometimes this needs to be facilitated. You know, hey, let's teach on confession. Let's talk about repentance is. I know things are ongoing. Help them understand that they're not going to have a perfect spouse. You know, after this, there are still going to be struggles as they work out repentance and they grow and all those kind of things. But to help them and to potentially lead them through that so they can confess their sins to each other and really seek forgiveness, because they need to, desperately, need to be reconciled. I think another thing I did not write on here, like I said, I remember, you know, I thought of some things afterwards. And one of them is just to understand God's perspective. You know, why does He allow trials, difficulties, hardships? What is He doing right in the midst of all this? Why the consequences in their life? Why is there misery? Has God forsaken or abandoned them? The answer is, of course, absolutely not. You know, God loves them and He desires to use trials. Like in Deuteronomy 8, okay, the Israelites wandering in the wilderness to reveal their hearts. Okay, to grow them in sanctity as well too. And so we're not to take lightly the discipline of the Lord, as Hebrews 12 says. The Lord has good desires. He wants to produce righteousness, right? Christ-likeness in our lives. And so He uses difficulty as they've sinned, right? He doesn't just think that, all right, I'm just going to pour out all the blessings so you never pay attention to these things, right? And just forget and just continue to live in rebellion. No, the Lord desires, He's jealous. He desires their heart, their allegiance, etc. Just as He desires it in all of our lives. And He wants to pursue them. And so maybe He's allowed these consequences, right, to purify, to work in their lives, right, to draw them nearer to Him. And as He does that, He's going to draw them nearer to each other, you know, as well, to the very thing they desire as well. All right, some specific things. And again, this is, I'm going to try to hit Frank and Evelyn kind of together in a sense. At the end, when we're getting to fruit and thinking, I'll have to do them a little separately. But I'm going to try to do my best. I think we ran out of time with Evelyn last time. So I'm going to do my best to try to get to both of them. So I may not do every point. Because if you guys have that right side of the diagram, we're going to start with Frank here in a minute. And then we're going to go to Evelyn, but I'm not going to address every single line, okay, on here, just because we just don't have time. But hopefully it'll still be helpful as you guys see some of the contrast here. So specifically, in terms of the bottom right-hand box, okay, Frank struggles with idolatry in a lot of different ways, right? He longs, okay, his life agenda, okay, lusts, hopes, isn't Christ, right? It isn't loving the Lord, it's loving self, okay, and having others serve Him. Okay, that's the bigger picture, okay, the bigger picture there. And you guys can see that right in your notes. It's kind of in a little box kind of right above there, pointing down. But he wants a faithful, committed wife. Sex is a part of this as well, too. Business success. There's a number of them here, okay. I think there's five or so. Control, fear of man. I have those crossed out because as I read through the document, it was not extremely clear how fear of man was a huge issue. Again, if he was really afraid of having anybody tell anybody, so therefore he'd want to go to counseling. Maybe that would be a bigger one, all right, to consider. And control, they all said they're control freaks. There was, I think, one of their relatives, his brother or something like that. And then someone said that of her, I think, also. But in terms of actually seeing that play out practically, the case study wasn't extremely clear on that. And so I just have those crossed out. For Evelyn, on her bottom right box, she wants the perfect man, okay, to meet her needs, likely her felt needs. That probably comes from all those self-help books, you know, she's been reading. And then comfort, right, for her is a particular one as well, too, right, escape, etc. And they both have that one to some degree, with him being more so TV. And so as you guys think, you know, here, we want to make the connection as well, too, between the idols and the sinful fruit, okay, and the heat, all right? What do people tend to come in, and as you look at this diagram here, all right, they forget about the bottom half of that tree, okay, on that right-hand side. And all they see is the fruit. Yeah, they see their anger. They might see fear, but it's because of the sun. It's because of the heat that's beating down. That's the direct relation. And you know what? There is a circumstantial causation of that, but the response ultimately is determined not by the circumstances, but by the heart, okay, the roots, right? That is the first cause, the direct cause of that, because again, that heat can be the same in different people's lives, and they can respond differently, right? And what's the reason for that? The heart, specifically. And so we want to help them understand, as we go through the heart with them, where their responsibility lies. And so hopefully at the very beginning, they'll say, yeah, this is sin, I've committed this, I've done that. There'll be some humility. But really, as we continue on and we're trying to help and serve them, we want to make it very clear where their behavior comes from, right? They'll be taking more and more responsibility. But also, too, if this is true, then they'll realize that the reason why they're angry, okay, for Frank or for Evelyn is because they're not getting these things that they want. And they're judging that is wrong to not get those things. But what's wrong is their desires, right? Their agendas, hopes, etc. And of course, the process of change is very, very vital. You know, as people think about, you know, going from where they are to where they really need to be, you know, understanding that process is going to be really vital. And then beginning to help them very practically, okay, to start addressing with God's word, right, through renewing the mind to begin putting off and putting on. And that's what this whole big picture diagram is about. And so as we begin to get into these things, to start showing them their heart, you're filling out this big picture. Right, you're helping them to start see the things that need to be put off, and then also too, in unison, the things that need to be put on as well. Okay, God doesn't just want us to stop it. Okay, there's an old Bob Newhart, you know, skit that you guys may be familiar with. I think it was 5 minutes long, something like that. That's all he would give them. But stop it, you know, was his main admonition there, and fear, I think, as well too. That's not where we want to go. You know, we want to help them to replace, okay, with God's help, right, his word, his spirit, to put on something completely different. All right, so for Frank, what does this look like? What are the put-ons? And what I have here is the put-off and then the subsequent put-ons. And so for Frank, what was his life agenda, desires, hope? He went over that. Faithful, committed wife, which would be a part of, sex would be a part of that. And so what does he need to do? Well, he needs to reorient his expectation in marriage. Okay, instead of to lovingly serve rather than to be served, right? To give himself for his wife's benefit. Okay, this would include his role, to understand love, to be a servant. Remember, we went over this as we went over very, very beginning of level two and just the purpose of marriage. Okay, that is the purpose. Love, serve, care. This is opposite of that. Should his wife be faithful and committed? Well, yes, absolutely. Okay, but that shouldn't drive his heart and his lusts. That has to be clear. Business, right? He wants his business to do well. Right? If you're a businessman, I think any businessman is going to want your business to do well. You've poured your life into it in many ways. But what he needs to desire isn't success, okay, for his business not to fail, but to be faithful. All right, we need to honor the Lord in every area of our life, and so he needs to be faithful as he carries out the responsibilities, all right, of that business to please God. And also just trust the Lord with the outcome. I mean, that's a huge part. I mean, that's a very scary thing for his business to fail, the consequences that could come from that. But the Lord's in control. The Lord's good and faithful. Maybe that happens. Maybe it does need to fail because he needs to focus on his marriage, all right, and to find some other job where maybe he's less involved. Who knows God's intention and plans and all that. I wouldn't mention that initially, of course, but God's maybe working those things out as you help teach him these things. All right, for thinking and beliefs, for Frank, just to kind of move along here, he dreams and meditate on Evelyn loving him and desiring him alone, right, not being there in hard times. Okay, we certainly can, this is hard. You know, if your spouse was not there in some hard times and difficult things, that'd be very, very difficult, all right? That's Evelyn sinning, right? Remember, she left after 25 years, abandoned him. Those things have been very hurtful and very difficult. And so I think starting with just encouragement, you know, understanding the difficulty of an unfaithful spouse, again, that can be some of the most hurtful sin that someone can commit against another person. We don't know the full extent of what Evelyn did as we lead the case study. Different people have different ideas. But I think also, too, he needs to understand the purpose of marriage. Again, it's loving and serving, not the other way around. And so he needs to learn to rely on God as well, first and foremost, in hard times, and understand his love and comfort, right? A lot of times in marriage, people make their spouse their rock, okay? But that capital R rock needs to be God. yes, we are maybe a lowercase rock in a sense, because we can encourage and we can be there for each other physically, right? Give each other hugs, all those type of things. All that's wonderful. But God in Psalm 18 is our rock, okay, and our fortress. And he needs to be the one where we find comfort and refuge and all that first and foremost, right? In who he is in particular, right? A passage, I didn't write it down here, but we looked at it. I think we were going through fear and anxiety, where it was Proverbs, I think, 18:10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe, right? This is how Frank needs to know God better and better, okay? Then he needs to direct his mind not on the way she's failed, but on the way that he can serve, right? He can love and care, right? Those are some helpful ones. He's also convinced he loves his wife more than any man ever has, you know? And so, you know, keeping a poker face, you know, in some ways, is he does believe these things. Maybe a smile would be appropriate. But he needs to understand and have an accurate picture of the imperfect love, right, that he has for his wife. And to consider where he's failed. Okay, I'm hoping he does believe that he's a sinner, right? There's a verse in 1 John chapter 1 that would help him if he doesn't believe that. But he is a sinner, and if that's true, then he does fail. He does sin. And so if that's true, then, you know, focusing on that he's loved her more than any other man probably isn't the most helpful, okay, balance of all this. And as we've got to this point, hopefully he's begun to understand that as well too. Okay, the only perfect man was Jesus. We need his grace, his help. We are great sinners, right? Maybe you could study the words of the Apostle Paul. He had three different statements in the Bible, and the last one that he was the least of all these saints. Okay, and so he's clearly doesn't think the same way as Frank does. There's a lot of pride in that. All right, emotions for Frank: fear, worry, anger. We've gone through all this stuff, all right, as we looked at those different issues, okay, in level two. And so we need to walk through these with Frank as well, okay? But again, there's a lot. And so kind of choosing when, where, how, you might even have to do them concurrently, okay, in some sense, as well too, as you're working through, you know, something else. So the hurt, bitter, resentfulness, you know, as you're working through the gospel, hopefully the God's working on that, for example, because you're teaching him to forgive, right, and how God's treated him. The fruit, lots here, but again, we need to get to Evelyn, so I'm going to try to go very fast. Remember, where does all the fruit come from? It comes from the lower levels, okay? So Frank's heart, okay, here produces all these things, so he talks to anyone, all right? So if Frank desires his wife to be there for him, and she's not, what do you think he's doing? Well, he's going to other people, right? He needs to help to think through that, to cast his cares on the Lord, right? And to work things out with Evelyn. Okay, he needs to understand conflict resolution, how to communicate, right? He needs to know how to lead and restore that relationship so that there's not that rift, okay? So that they can have the type of relationship, type of companionship, so that they are walking together in life. That's what companionship means, specifically, to share life together. And so that's one part of it, okay? They both accuse each other. They both need to take responsibility, address the log in their eye, learn how to reconcile, be humble. I mean, all kinds of things here. Learn how to be gracious, merciful, patient. And so if they just understood Matthew 7, in a sense, they're going to stop accusing in a critical, okay, judgmental sort of way, knowing God will judge them in the same way. They don't want to be hypocrites. They want to deal with their sin first, and hopefully that would stem, you know, put off some of those accusations. For Evelyn, her life agenda, hopes, dreams, again, is that perfect man to meet her felt needs. Very same thing for her, just as Frank. And so these are things you could teach them together very, very easily. If just in case, maybe later on as you work through more specific things, they might need to be separated. But these are things certainly you could talk about together. And so reorient her expectation of marriage to loving and serving, giving herself for her husband's benefit. Okay, not him as a tool to meet her needs. All right, that's a self-centered orientation to marriage, just as Frank did, but just a little different. Comfort, okay, the grandchild, okay, escape, some different things here. Again, God needs to be her rock, okay, not who, you know, Frank, in terms of her dispenser of love in particular. her source of encouragement and strength, right? A right view of her grandchild. I mean, grandkids are great. I haven't had one yet. My kids are way too young for that. But I've heard they're wonderful, right? Dr. Street used to have this little sign. If I knew how great grandkids were, I would have had them first, all right? And not sure how that would work out, but grandkids are wonderful, right? as I've heard. As soon as they start disobeying, here, Mom, here you go. And but a right view. Okay, have grandkids. They're a wonderful blessing from the Lord, but they can't be where we run to, okay, before God, ultimately. Her thinking, beliefs, she dreams and meditates on the perfect Christian man. But again, same thing. Needs to love and serve. That's where her mind needs to go. Okay, maybe Frank does fail. Again, this is the same thing for Frank. Evelyn fails, but I need to focus on being God's kind of man, loving, serving, giving myself for her benefit and for the glory of God. And so there's also too, there's no perfect Christian man. And so I don't know who she's thinking of except for Jesus, and he's gone. And so he's not available. And regardless, she needs to understand her commitment, okay, to her husband. She has a commitment, a vow. So she needs to understand marriage as well too, that the Lord wants her to be committed to love Frank. Okay, not some other vision or ideal or fantasy of some sort, right? Her commitment is to him first and foremost. Frank not loving her. And again, this goes on to, these overlap a little bit, but need to learn to rely on God, okay, to supply her needs. Remember we talked about love and respect and those air tubes that get cut off. Yeah, it's hard, it's hurtful, but again, our main air tube doesn't just come from our husband. And so she needs to learn to forgive and learn biblical conflict resolution, confrontation. If Frank's really, truly not loved her, right, there is a God in heaven who has, right, and done so in a way that is a great comfort and should be a great encouragement to her heart, which should compel her to just as God has loved her, to love her husband in his failures, right, and his inconsistencies, etc. And so to have a very different heart towards him, not to pull away and run away when she's hurt, okay, but to draw near to help, okay, and to build her husband up. The felt needs thing, we've talked about this, I think, a little bit. God made me to have needs, okay? We need to work, okay, with her on that particularly. We need to teach on felt needs and how those very often can be self-centered, how God supplies our needs, okay, not Frank, ultimately. And so just to kind of walk through that, yes, do we have needs? Absolutely. Frank needs to learn to love and cherish and nourish, okay, his wife in so many ways. As he fails to do that, there is going to be hurt, okay, and there's going to be, in a sense, something missing from her life as well, too. But God can supply all of her needs. God can help her and to love and serve and care for her husband. Her withdrawing doesn't help, right? Her sinning in response doesn't help her husband, doesn't help her marriage, ultimately. And so all her different emotions, again, we've covered a lot of these things, kind of how to work through, you know, anger and those judgments, okay, that lead to anger. The hurt, bitterness, resentful, and the gospel, depression, right? How can a person have hope? Again, hopefully, even as we go through the gospel, that this is going to start stirring her heart, all right? That there's hope for them, even for herself, for Frank, because of who God is, right? That he can work in the midst of their circumstances, okay, as they submit their lives to him, okay? And so the fruit for her, this emotional involvement, at the least, maybe it's more, we don't know for sure. Maybe that'll come out over the course of counseling as they're really growing and humbling themselves. But for now, that's what we know. And, you know, she's left the marriage at 25 years, she's currently sleeping in a separate bedroom. We certainly need to encourage her in the difficulty of her husband's sin. All right, we need to bring comfort to her just as we sought to do that to Frank. She's a sufferer just as well as a sinner. And to be very gracious and patient with her as she feels uncomfortable, you know, coming near to Frank because of what Frank has done. I mean, there's a lot there. I wouldn't tell her to move in tomorrow, all right, more than likely. But still, to comfort, to encourage. But then also to it seems that she understands the first and second are wrong, okay, the leaving completely. But want to follow up, okay, to understand kind of where she's at, okay, and thinking through her withdrawal from the relationship, but also to learn to trust God, right, and to love her husband, okay. It may be unpleasant, but if there's not a safety concern, etc., I don't know how living in separate bedrooms is going to promote their companionship, all right, and help them move them towards that. Now, I may be patient And I would encourage Frank towards patience as she feels very uncomfortable, I'm sure, initially. But I'm hoping as he's making changes, she's making changes, that this would be a very natural step for her to make in the future, maybe in the first few weeks or so, to then move back in as there's some change happening and occurring in their life. And that's as well, too, you know, the engagement, the sexual relationship. This is a big topic. I think we've talked about this. But, you know, again, that's not the priority at this moment. The case, certainly not the first week. You know, they have been going through very, very hard times. And so there are many other priorities they have, as we've gone over. All right, that's something that Frank needs to stop worrying about in the short term. And that there's more important things like bitterness and lack of reconciliation, all those that he needs to concern his heart with. Right, and that hopefully, again, over the next few weeks or so, a few months, that those things change, and that this very naturally is something, as she moves back into the bedroom, that they can resume, and that we would teach on and help them to understand. So, all right, lots more, okay, that we could talk about, most certainly, and we're over already. Any questions that you guys have as you guys think about anything that you saw that maybe was omitted, that you have questions, or maybe something I mentioned to understand why that was included? Anything specifically? Probably overloaded already. Caleb?
How does the story end?
You know, I was told a number of years ago, but I don't remember. And I've heard so many other stories since then. I don't remember. So... But in terms of earthly hope, there's very, very slim chance this one would work out. So unless God intervenes, and that's, again, as a counselor, just where we have to rest our mind, is that God can get a hold of them. And as we teach them faithfully, patiently, the scriptures and the truth, we just hope if they truly are Christians that God will get a hold of their hearts. And if they're not, again, you see some resistance to Frank truly doing his homework, et cetera. Is he a Christian? I mean, maybe counseling reveals that, and he becomes a true believer. I've seen that more than once in counseling, and how God really then transforms that marriage afterwards, which is pretty neat. Any other questions, Dave? I've heard counselors do it different ways. I don't fill it out personally, but that's because I love pictures, and so it makes sense in my own head. But I've had people, so Stuart Scott, for example, I asked him, do you fill this out? He says every time. Every single time he ever does counseling, he always fills one of these out for each person. And so I started doing that again, just to, okay, if Stuart Scott does it, it just doesn't work for me to fill it out. And there's just too many details. I think it's just like 5 pages. It just doesn't work for me because I write so much, and there's so many details that the boxes just aren't big enough. And so if you want to, the only thing that I do use this for technically is to teach on the heart. And so I'll show this, the right-hand side, to walk them through, just like I did with you guys back in level one, just to help them understand not only how it looks like in somebody else's life, to understand that progression from the roots, right, up to the fruit, but then also to then fill it out very basic sense. So it's not like this. It's like just a few words or ideas, and it's very simple, simple as I can make it, so that it's as least confusing as possible, if that makes sense. Does that kind of answer? Yeah. Yes. Please, yeah. If you guys would really like to understand counseling better, those are excellent. And so they're great. There's other ones, too, that are much more expensive that I would like you to watch actually more, but they're expensive. And so I think they're each like $15 like for each session. They're on Prime Video. They're through the Master's University. So there's a number of different videos. But for $6, you can watch, you know, many, many hours of it. And they're very good as well, too, even though they don't follow the progression of sessions, those types of things that the master's ones would. So, yeah, it's another, yeah. Sure, yeah, I can send you guys that. We can post it. Yeah, not a problem. So, yeah, and I'd just say, too, is from my perspective, you know, Stuart fills all this out. I don't, because it just gets so cluttered with information, and then just trying to figure out all the different connections. Because what I tried to do here was, and what you're trying to do in the big picture too, is if you write something over here, you know, on this side, you can't see my mouse pointer, it doesn't look like, but on the right-hand side, then you want to have a reflection of that to put on the left-hand side as well too. So sometimes whenever I fill these out, I'll actually number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then on the other side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that way they can just, you know, make the connections a little bit more easily. So. So, but the value of this is just it's a big picture diagram that helps you understand a lot of theology in a one-page picture. And so I think that that's the main benefit of all of this. Not necessarily as a tool to take all my notes. So. Maybe next time we can have a sheet instead of actually having people write out on it if they'd prefer that. Maybe that'd be a little clearer. Anything else before we take off? Yes. Oh, of course. Hey, it's our pleasure. So, yeah. We get to drive in the same car to church now, which will be nice. Let me just end our time with just a quick reading of Ephesians chapter 4, just to encourage you guys. I know that you're all at different levels and desire in terms of interaction and counseling ministry, different levels of maturity, etc. But turn over to Ephesians 4. And, you know, we have there a statement of from Paul that as kind of earlier in verse 11, where some are given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, right? And why? For the equipping of the saints in verse 12, for the work of service, right? That's what we've been doing, you know, during our class. And in verse 14, it says, as a result, you know, as you guys are built up, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow it up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. And so as you guys have been equipped and trained at some level, it's my prayer for you guys to whatever capacity and opportunity that the Lord would provide for you to be speaking the truth, right, to your own heart, obviously first, to your kids, if you have them, right, to your friends, right, to those in church, okay, maybe even more formally, maybe there's a discipleship ministry you're involved in, to carry those things out. Let me pray to that end here now as we close. Father, we're thankful so much, Lord, for all of what we've gone over in your word this year. We've covered a lot of ground, and Lord, I pray that, you know, kind of as we've seen in the culmination, Lord, of this, all these different components kind of brought together as we've understood the process of change, the heart, repentance, all the things that we covered level one and then now in level two, although we didn't get into detail, you know, anger, fear, and et cetera. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help, Lord, each one here, myself included, to just continue to be sharpened by this material, to reflect upon it, to go back to it. Lord, as we seek to serve in our own personal lives, you, our families, and also too, Lord, those in the church, and that, Lord, that you would help us. We just give you great praise and glory, Lord, that you've given us a sufficient word, that you've promised to be with us, Lord, even to the end of the age, to be with us in Matthew 18 in confrontation as well too. And Lord, we have everything that we need, Lord, to love, to serve, to be built up, to be strengthened. And so, Father, we just give you praise and glory. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on our behalf, and are so thankful, Lord, this Christmas season that we have an opportunity to reflect and remember the incarnation and your ministry here, your life, your death, your burial and resurrection. So, Lord, just may our hearts be filled with praise, Lord, this season and beyond, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.